Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Twisted scripture? Ha! This is twisted everything. This is Wretched Radio. A whole lot of scripture twisting going on in California. You almost wanted to say, of course, at a Methodist church. And you wanted to say, of course, again, the Reverend Karen Clark Ristein has posted a photo of the nativity scene that they have put in the front lawn of the Methodist church. It's a lovely creche. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in cages, separated at the border, because nothing says Christmas like a political statement and the mangling of the Bible and downright blasphemy. Every single sentence, as reported in this Fox News article, is twisted scripture, a misunderstanding of the Bible, and that is our concern. This is not a diatribe, a screed against a liberal understanding of immigration laws. We'll leave that up to the political talk shows. Our concern is theological, which sometimes we need to remember is more important than political issues. I know. It may seem a little crazy. But politics has its place. Theology way more important. And that is what is doubly blasphemous about this nativity scene. First of all, the nativity scene itself is. But second of all, its biblical rationale is blasphemous. The Reverend Karen Clark Ristein posted a photo of the controversial display saying she was stirred to tears. Yeah, me too. Just a different kind of a tear of lamenting. Maybe bitterness, frustration. Saying the protest nativity showing Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in separate barbed wire cages made her cry. Yeah, it makes us cry too, because last time I checked, the people at the border that are being separated for whatever reason, although I think that policy has stopped, not sure. Again, we're not a political talk show. I don't think that people are being kept in cages, let alone barbed wire cages. Could be wrong about that detail, but hey, when you're trying to make a point, why not use a little exaggeration as long as you're mangling the greatest miracle of all time, which is the incarnation of the Son of God? Quote, what if this family sought refuge in our country today? Well, they would be stopped at the border. That's what would happen. But what she's trying to do is emote us into saying that there should be no immigration laws based on a misrepresentation of what happened when Herod was trying to kill babies. They fled. Why? Because their son would be murdered. Does that justify breaking law? Well, we have something called asylum for that today, but we can't compare today with yesteryear. When Jesus and Mary and Joseph went to Egypt, they were going to another Roman territory. They were not violating immigration policy. And so they can't compare first century Egypt with 21st century America. Nevertheless, she does. Why? Because she has no regard for scripture and its integrity. She continued, imagine Joseph and Mary separated at the border and Jesus, no older than 2, taken from his mother and placed behind the fences of a border patrol detention center as more than 5,500 children have been the past 3 years. Well, let's imagine that today, a couple with their baby were trying to get into this country, regardless of who they happen to be. If they're breaking the law, then they're breaking the law. But Mary and Joseph weren't breaking the law. That is not the setup in the first century. And if they had broken the law, then it would have been right and they would not have complained. We broke the law. This is the just punishment. Now, if she wants to argue she doesn't like the way things are being done, knock yourself out, but don't use the Bible and mangle it and wrangle it and twist it to make your point. That is what gets up my nose about this story. Yeah, the blasphemy of the display, but how they liberally use the Bible drives me bonkers. She said, a nativity is the theological equivalent to public art. Oh, it is? I thought it was a visual presentation of the greatest event in history. The greatest miracle, the greatest event would have to be Easter and the resurrection. And the role of public art has always been to offer awareness. No, actually, the role of public art has been to beautify and to, in some way, shape, or form, shed light, cause us to go ooh and ah about God, to demonstrate an attribute in art that causes us to understand him better and appreciate him more. That's been the historic understanding of art. That's been long lost. But it is not for public awareness. Jesus taught us kindness and mercy and the radical welcome of all people. Did Jesus teach us kindness and mercy? Yep. I'm not sure what that has to do with an immigration policy per se. You could apply it, but that doesn't cause us to change laws on its face. And a radical welcome of all people. Does Jesus welcome all people who come to him in repentance and faith? Absolutely. Does he dine with sinners? Yep. Does that have anything to do with immigration laws? No, it doesn't. There were immigration laws, by the way, in Old Testament Israel. Not anybody could just walk in. You had to blend in. You had to become a Jew. Oh, yeah. Was there any sort of immigration policy? You had to get circumcised. So, yeah, I would say that there were policies in place because God didn't want an intermingling of people. Now, that we're not Israel in the 21st century. Nevertheless, we can see that God did indeed have laws for the purification of his nation. So we can, nothing else, conclude from that. God is okay with immigration laws. God is okay with border laws. What they are, we can discuss, but don't twist the scripture to get there. And my favorite quote, maybe, in this nativity mess, gentlemen, when somebody does a blasphemous piece of art, whether professed Christian or a pagan, what is inevitably the excuse and rationale?
Well, I just wanted to start a conversation.
You must have read this article, Joey.
Nope, I've been around the block a few times.
Our nativity has evoked an important conversation. Please feel free to do so if you think that that is your church's role. But please, madam, don't use the Bible to do so. Don't use scripture and mangle it to the degree that it's blasphemous and confuses people. And speaking of using the Bible to make one's political point, Atlanta is agog. It is simply agog. There is a news report that broke. There seems to be very scant detail. Nevertheless, this is breaking now on all of the local channels here. Everybody's talking. Okay, many people are talking about it in Atlanta, and they're typing their thoughts as fast as they can because New York City has decided to deal with their homeless problem. And it is a problem. What is their conclusion? What is their solution? We have a lot of them. We have too many of them. I know. Let's send them to other states who don't have as many. So that's what they've been doing. The numbers, again, you're getting varying numbers. It doesn't seem like it's an overwhelming number for any given city, but it maybe is as many as 5,000 families over the last several years that they've just quietly deported from New York and placed in other states. They don't tell anybody. Now, this is kind of funny. I mean, not if you live in Atlanta, but apparently the number of people who came to a town from New York City in Atlanta to Marietta, and it has caused outrage. Four people have come. Now, apparently what New York is doing is they are paying the rent for these homeless people for a year. Now, they do qualify them to some degree that in the future they'll have the ability to pay their own rent. Nevertheless, it's all shadowy, it's all shifty, and people are very concerned about it. And while I get that, again, our interest here at Wretched isn't the policy so much as it is the posting. Oh, wow. You know, Jesus was born in a manger. Yeah. And that has what to do with New York sending homeless people to Marietta, Georgia. Just nothing to do with it. And here's the challenge when you talk about homelessness. No matter what you say about it, you sound like a Scrooge. You sound mean. This is definitely a theological debate. This is an authority issue that is going on. How do we deal with this massive problem? I don't think the government of New York has a handle on it. I don't think the solution is just to disperse them all over the country. I happen to think that that's not fair or right. But the question is, how do we figure out what to do with these people who many of them want to actually be there? This is the current culture war debate, in my estimation. This is a worldview issue. This is an authority issue. Who determines what is right and wrong? How do we treat these people? How do we help these people, many of whom don't want to be helped or who have mental issues or who have drug addictions? It is a complex issue, to say the least. And I don't think there's any easy solution, but might I suggest that as we Christians do it, we've got a better shot at it than the pagans, needless to say. And let us not mangle the Bible as we go about applying our faith to worldview issues. Talk about twisted scripture. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas too. Gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources, for free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, and speaking of blasphemous, this is Wretched Radio, all the rage on the internet machine. A new video game called I Am Jesus Christ. Playway has announced a new game called I Am Jesus Christ, which will allow players to take the role of Jesus and bring a multitude of New Testament stories to life. Did I mention? I watched the trailer. Did you? I don't know if you've seen this or not. But it's, I don't know about the quality. I don't know if it's artistic or not. Regardless, you are kind of seeing everything through Jesus' eyes. You see Jesus, and then you're kind of are Jesus. So you see your hands stretching out to heal somebody, and what happens to your hand as Jesus? It gets all electric, you know, like there's power going through it. Players will be able to perform some of Jesus' most famous miracles, like walking on water, healing the blind, casting out demons, and even resurrecting from the dead. Now, I don't know if the original word blasphemy had a PH or an F, but this certainly qualifies no matter how you spell it. Doesn't it? Here's a description if you can stomach it. Become Jesus Christ. Now, you can tell, even just, who knows where this thing was produced? Probably not even in the West, but nevertheless, I'll read it as written. From the manufacturer. Become Jesus Christ, the famous man on earth. In this highly realistic simulation game, pray like him for getting superpower. You think the makers of this game have any clue about Jesus Christ and his nature? Who he actually is? The God-man? The hypostatic union? Never mixing, never mingling. He wasn't a Superman. He was the God-man, fully God, fully man. Which, by the way, as a Christmas aside, a theological question that I know a lot of theologians have wrangled with a long time. I believe we're sending this out as a newsletter for your consideration. It can be a dicey issue. I don't see it that way. If God is immutable, which he is, James 1:17, if God never changes, and if Jesus is God, which he is, pretty much the entire Gospel of John. He is God, and he became flesh, which he did. Therefore, God is not unchanging, because God, in the person of Jesus Christ, became flesh. And people will use that as, aha, see, the Bible is wrong. It contradicts itself because it makes clear statements about God's immutability, Jesus' nature, being divine, and not changing, but he was begotten and he added flesh, and therefore he changed. And I don't see it that way at all. For instance, let's just talk about you for a moment. You're walking down the street. You drop your lunch, and a complete stranger picks it up. You're grateful. You start a conversation. The next thing you know, it turns out you have a lot of things in common, and you become best friends, and now you play tennis on the weekend together every single time. Did your nature change? No, of course it didn't. Well, wait a second. Hold on. You added a friend. You go, well, that's dumb. I just had a friend. Yeah, but see, you added something to you. So you changed, right? You go, no, I've got a friend. I didn't change in my nature. And that is the key to this. God's nature doesn't change. When Jesus became flesh, his nature, God's nature doesn't change. He took on a human body. That is most certainly true, but that does not change his nature. So when we say that God never changes, I think it's best to say his nature never changes. He's always holy. He's always righteous. He's always just. He's always love. All of those things, never, ever changing. But even God, if you will, in a sense, changes when, for instance, before you got saved, you were not in a right relationship with him, and he was not in a right relationship with you. You got saved from his regenerating power, and now you're in a right relationship with him, and he's in a right relationship with you because of Jesus Christ. Did he change? No. But something changed. A relationship status changed. And so God doesn't change in every single regard. It's regarding his nature and his character is unchanging. I think that's, no, it's more complex than that, but that's, I think, the simplest way to understand it. But you might be thinking to yourself, self, what about Jesus Christ, though? That when he became a man. So how does that work out? Did he just take on like a shell, a body? And the answer to that would be no. That would be the Apollinarian heresy. And you don't want it that it was just a shell. That's all it was. Or he appeared, that docetism. He just appeared to be a man. Those are heresies. He actually became a man. Then you say, well, wait a second. A man has a will and a nature. Did he add that? Yes, but not to his divine nature. And that's what the Chalcedonian Creed gets at in a much more pithy way than the Athanasian Creed, which also gets at it. That Jesus' nature, he had a human nature, still does, and a God nature, but they never mix or mingle to any sort of jingle bell beat. They're separate, always separate. Joey, would you look up the Chalcedonian Creed because it's a lot shorter than the Athanasian Creed? Remember, this is the most organized Christian radio program on this station at this time. This was written in 451. There was a whole lot of wrangling going on in the early church about the character and the nature of Jesus Christ, Christology proper. The other big theological issue was soteriology, salvation. Chalcedonian Creed was dealing with the nature of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. How does that work? Did the two natures come together and now Jesus is a superman like the makers of this game think that he was, apparently? Joey, you got it? Chalcedonian Creed?
Yep.
Give it a go.
We then, following the Holy Fathers, all with one consent, teach men to confess one and the same Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood, truly God and truly man, of a reasonable soul and body, consubstantial with the Father according to the Godhead.
This is with the same substance. That's really important. So it's equality. Go ahead.
Consubstantial with the Father according to the Godhead and consubstantial with us according to manhood. In all things like unto us, without sin, begotten before all ages of the Father, according to the Godhead.
Now and slow in, down. Go ahead.
And in these latter days, for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, according to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably.
There it is.
The distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved and concurring in one person and one substance.
That's it, right there. I think that is the solution to the conundrum about the never-changing nature of God, plus tax, and Jesus being begotten, that he took on a human body. And not just like a puppet. That's not a real human being, fully God at the same time. They just never fused and mixed into one another. Is that a divine mystery? You bet it is. Can you fully grasp that? No, you can't. And this is one of the few, but there are several, and there must be several confusing, mysterious issues about God. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. A religion that can totally figure out God is false. And by the way, might I also say, the most obvious presentation of God isn't. That's a human manufacturing of God. But the Christian Bible, the Christian faith, has areas of mystery. For instance, the Trinity, three persons, one God, head scratch, has to be that way. How's about salvation? That God does the saving 100%, totally predetermined before eternity began, and yet we have complete human responsibility. How's about sanctification? How's about the Holy Spirit empowers us totally, and yet we must work at it? And if and it's our job and responsibility, and we actually are, even though at the same time we're being totally empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are areas. This is one of them, but I think the simplest way to understand the immutability issue when it comes to Jesus becoming flesh is to understand the Chalcedonian Creed. This game doesn't. Pray like him for getting superpower. Perform famous miracles like him from Bible, like casting demons, healing and feeding people, resurrection and more in I Am Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered to be like him? One of the most privileged and powerful people in the world? I've got news for this little blasphemous video game. Someday we are going to be like him, and we are going to experience that. And a video game, as clever as it might be, it ain't going to come close to what it is going to be like when we see him face to face and we inherit everything that is his. If something pointed us in that direction, I'd say thumbs up. But this little video game, bad grammar aside, it does not. It's mere blasphemy. And if we want to get a foretaste of heaven, the only true and reliable source for doing that, you guessed it, is in the Bible. It's better not. Video game. Understatement of the millennium. This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church, look to 1 Corinthians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you, well, a bunch of stories you sent into idea at wretched.org, stuff I found on the internet. Didn't really stand alone for long focus or attention, so slapped them together. Because they're all from different zip codes. And to make it a theme, we called it Wide World of Stories. With the Bible verse put on it, so it's Christian. Congratulations, Wisconsin. You win again. Can somebody explain this to me without being sarcastic, my Minnesota friends? Wisconsin is home to 12 of the nation's top 20 drunkest cities. Can you explain that? How do we figure that out? If you're interested, and I know you are, from number 20 down, the drunkest cities. By the way, percentage of adults drinking excessively, percentage of driving deaths involving alcohol, number of premature deaths, and the median household income. I'm not sure what the income has to do with it. Nevertheless, these are your drunkest cities. Number 20, Corvallis, Oregon. Iowa City, Iowa is 19. Lincoln, Nebraska's. Gee, that bums. Lincoln is such a nice. Many of these towns I've been to, they're very nice. Why are people getting loaded so much? I don't get
colleges.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what college is in Corvallis, Oregon? Huh?
Well, you're in Oregon, so you're going to have to drink.
See, I knew you couldn't do. I knew it. I knew you couldn't make it through this without some sort of.
But I made it farther than I thought I would.
Number 17, Milwaukee/Waukesha/West Allis, all very nice areas. I've said this before. I have been to Milwaukee many, many times, and I have never met anybody I didn't like. I'm sure they exist. I'm sure that there are bad people there. I have never bumped into them. Hey, wait a sec. Maybe I know why. They're all pretty loose. Maybe that's the deal. Janesville, Beloit. Janesville and Beloit. I don't know why there's a slash there. They're number 16. Janesville got a nice truck stop right there on 94. Don't mind telling you. 15. Racine, Wisconsin. Or Racine. Number 14, Grand Forks, North Dakota. These are all northern states. Maybe it's just to stay warm. And it's like, we need antifreeze or we die. Missoula, Montana's 13. Sheboygan, Wisconsin, 12. Wausau, Wisconsin, 11. Number 10, woo-woo, Minnesota. Mankato and North Mankato made the list. I think there are a lot of bars per capita, although Appleton was the number one per capita bar. No, La Crosse. Appleton is the most drunk city. Oh, you just let the cat out of the bag. La Crosse has more bars per capita than any other city. 6.9 bars for every 10,000 people. I think it's higher than that, but that's just me. Somebody sprang a leak. Yes,
I did.
Yeah.
Corvallis, Oregon is a dynamic university town with a culture that celebrates innovation, green values, and outdoor recreation. Still holding pretty true. University town.
Okay, I hate it when you're right. Number 9 is Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Ames, Iowa, Fond du Lac. Number 6, La Crosse and Onalaska. Not the same, but nevertheless, been to both of them places. Fargo, North Dakota is 5. Madison, Wisconsin, that's a university town for sure. Fargo's a university. La Crosse is a unit. Yep, Fond du Lac. Okay, maybe you're right, Tony. That hurt. Green Bay, number 3. Number 2, Oshkosh/Neenah. They make some lovely sewer caps right there. And finally, number 1 would be, that's right, Appleton, Wisconsin. So I'm thinking to myself, besides university town, what else could it be? Gentlemen, sociologically, might there be anything that these places in Wisconsin have in common that might lead to a whole lot of drinking going on?
Well, we already got at the geography and climate.
Mm-hmm.
And with universities, you have more of a liberal, progressive mindset.
Getting colder, getting colder, getting colder. Religion.
But if you're a
religion.
Progressive liberal mindset would move you farther away from actual religion, wouldn't it?
But true religion is the issue.
Thank you.
I took the time to look it up. You're not going to like this one iota, Tony. Wisconsin, the number 1 and 2 religion, respectively, Roman Catholic and Lutheran. It's like 25 mm-hmm. and 15%. When it comes to like evangelicals or Baptist, it's about 1.5%. It's extraordinarily low. I'm not a sociologist. I don't play one on the radio, but one can't help but wonder, is there a connection between faith and the fuel that you put in your body to make it through those long winters? I don't want to impugn anybody, man, but you've got to wonder what it is that causes that. Speaking of Roman Catholic, it would appear Gwen Stefani. That's right. That was a segue. Gwen Stefani, don't know if you realize this, she's Roman Catholic. Apparently, Blake Shelton wants to get hitched, but she wants to have the wedding in a church. What kind of church? That's right. Not Lutheran. A Roman Catholic church, but she can't because she was married for 14 years to Gavin Rossdale. He's the lead Bush vocalist. I had to read that because I had absolutely no idea.
They were popular when I was in high school.
She's 50. Gavin, 53. They were married for 14 years. No, I can say this because it's biblical. I hate divorce. I don't care if it's a pagan. I don't care who it is. When somebody gets divorced, it's not a good thing. There's always pain, and it's not good for them. It's not good for culture. It's not good for kids. It's not good for civilization. It is a foundation stone for a culture because God designed it that way. So even as pagans practice it, it is good for our civilization. They got divorced, and apparently it wasn't a play. In other words, it hasn't been annulled, so she can't get married again inside of the church because she was actually married. which is actually a good thing. I was thinking about this whole annulment business. It's if you just play it out just a little tiny bit, to suggest, well, those people weren't actually married for 14 years. It was not done right. Some other, they'd find a little technicality, so it gets annulled because it never actually happened. Well, as they were consummating and living as man and wife for 14 years, wouldn't they then be committing adultery for 14 years? And what about any children that are born from that union? Yikes! Once again, you play around with the Bible and you are going to find yourself in all kinds of hot water. And speaking of celebrities professing to be Christian, there has been a whole lot of talk still about Kanye West. This is just an update. Our position here at Wretched has been to just watch it, see what happens, see how it goes. He's a brand new believer. He's thrusting himself out into the public scene. I think that that is ill-advised because a new believer shouldn't be put into that type of position. I know it's for elder, but I think it applies to somebody who's playing that role, at least in some form or function. It's not wise for him. It's not safe for his family. And it's a danger to the Christian church because, well, time is important. So what is Kanye up to? This is just an update. Looks like he's going to be doing one of the mega events with Joel Osteen. He appeared at his church in Houston. That caused a fair amount of scuttle. It appears that he's going to be hooking up with Joel Osteen's ministry to do those Night of Hope events. Joel is going to talk, and then Kanye is going to be leading worship. Furthermore, it looks like he's also doing an event with Hillsong and a lot of the NAR folks, which isn't a great direction for the Kanye to be going in. Did I just comment on the status of his soul? No, I didn't. Just saying, that's what he is up to, and that is why, before we jump on any bandwagon, it would be very wise to be slower to prop up, to endorse, to even celebrate. Do we hope that the man is safe, saved and sound? Of course we do. Just like we would anybody else. Of course we do. But that's a whole lot different than having him as a spokesperson for evangelical Christianity. I know it would appear that he had some early good sound training. But at the moment, it seems that his trajectory is going in a completely different direction. Where is he going to land? The answer is, I don't know. And until he does, and until he shows some stability, it's just an encouragement. You can pray for the fellow if you choose to. You can certainly hope that the man is saved. Who of us doesn't hope that anybody gets saved when they make a public profession of faith? But for the evangelical community to get excited, to cheer, to embrace publicly, let's just say that's fraught with peril, and let's sincerely hope that this one ends better than a slew of celebrities who once professed to be followers of Jesus Christ and now blaspheme him. We don't want that. And we certainly don't want the damage that can come from a wholehearted early embrace, do we? This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. Hard to believe, but soon we're going to have to write a whole new year on our checks, aren't we? Wow, where did the year go? They just fly by. As we head ever so quickly to 2020, thank you for your support. For those of you who listen to the radio show, watch the TV show, or check us out on the internet, thank you. For those of you who have us on your prayer list and keep Wretched in your prayers, we are very grateful. And of course, thank you to our gospel partners, the folks whose faithful giving keeps Wretched on the radio, TV, the internet, and producing all the great resources. You are very much appreciated. Might I ask you to join us as a gospel partner? Whether it's a year-end gift or you become a Wretched monthly gospel partner, visit wretched.org/donate. That's where we have all the details on how you can become a Wretched gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Merry Christmas from your not-so-politically-correct friends here at Wretched. Did you know right now Wretched is having a Christmas sale? Well, now you do. Right now, Wretched is having a Christmas sale. That means when you visit the Wretched store, you will see that everything is 50% off when you use promo code CHRISTMAS. 50% off everything. Books, DVDs, CDs, 50% off when you use the promo code CHRISTMAS. So visit the Wretched store at wretched.org/sale. Oh, by the way, for every order of $40 or more, you'll also receive a free copy of Herman Hu. If my math is correct, that's a $24.99 value, absolutely free. So stock up on all your Christmas goodies this year and save up to 50% and get a free copy of Herman Hu. Pretty much that easy. Visit wretched.org/sale and be sure you use the promo code CHRISTMAS to get all your 50% off savings. That's wretched.org/sale.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted. People who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, look at what the cat dragged in. This is Wretched Radio. Just a reminder, you are listening to the most organized professional Christian radio program on this station at this time. So this guy comes walking into the studio, And we're putting him on the microphone. Who are you, sir?
Todd, it's good to be here. I'm glad to be part of the most important radio show this hour.
No, not the most important, the most organized.
Yes.
We've had this scheduled for how many seconds?
At least 20.
You got that right, mister. David Grantham, you will see this man walking down the street, and you will not point at him. You wouldn't see him in a restaurant, hear him slurping his soup. Do you still slurp your soup?
Well, you know, just when you and I, yes.
A little bit. And you probably wouldn't think that he's all that strange, and yet he's a bit of a weird one. Not because of his person, not because of his carriage, not because of his haircut. By the way, looking very stylish. Did you just get the locks trimmed a little bit?
And that gray's all mine, too.
Just for the radio program. Yes. Thanks for looking so sport. You're not weird. You're not odd. And yet what you do is esteemed, even by most Christians, as being kind of goofy. Just about, when you're not flying airplanes, just about every week, what do you do?
We do. We go out to a local university. I live in the New Orleans area, and every Thursday from noon to 2, we've had it scheduled for, almost 10 years now. We go out. Literally, I have a milk crate, Borden's milk crate with a piece of plywood on top of it.
Better.
We prop up against the water fountains there and the water little amusement area there and the commons area of the Southeastern Louisiana University.
Where you get to practice
campus.
Free speech.
And hasn't been a problem yet.
So they haven't. Far, so haven't good.
They don't have the free speech zone yet, and
they
designated.
They will. Just hope that Dan Barker doesn't hear this broadcast.
I know. But we go out and we hit the streets. There's been about 10 or 12, or hit the campus in this case. We stand up and preach the gospel, Todd, and it's very exciting.
I know. But here's what needs to be understood, David, you fly airplanes.
I do. Right?
So people's lives are in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You pay your taxes. Your shoes are tied.
On occasion.
You got that fancy haircut going on. Nobody would think that you're freaky geeky. And yet, when you tell people, I stand on a Borden's milk crate,
to preach the gospel to students, we all go, ew, you must be weird. Are you weird?
Yeah, well, someone might would think so, but I certainly don't. You certainly don't want to be that guy.
Right.
You don't want to be that guy. We have what we call the Hammond, Louisiana version of the Westboro Baptist that show up about once a month.
Is there? Oh, great.
And
it's not
police,
Brother Jet, is it?
No, it's even weirder than that. They have the signs, God hates, so on and so forth, and the barricades come out and the police show up. Now, it's been sporty over the years. We've had some testy times. You preach the gospel. I tell people, listen, if you're going to preach the gospel, it is offensive. But you don't have to be offensive in the manner in which you share it.
That's right.
In which you preach it.
Right.
So we're not out there to win a debate or win an argument, if you will. But we're going to argue. We're not going to bicker. We're going to argue, maybe like two lawyers in a court. And we're going to be respectful. We're not going to shout each other down. But we stand up. We open up the gospel. Open up the word and preach the gospel. And we invite people to ask questions. You want to engage. And the beautiful part of it is, I would say just about without failure, every time we go, we have probably 8, 10, 12 Christian students that come up and thank us for being there or ask us questions. Thank you for being here.
See, that's an unforgotten or a forgotten aspect of open-air preaching.
It is.
Even if no pagans gather, the Christians who walk by are encouraged or convicted.
Well, you think about it. People say, well, how many did you lead to the Lord? That age-old question. How many did you lead to the Lord? And what do we say? Every single one of them, right? What they did with the Lord, that's up to them. I think I got that from Easy or Ray or somebody like that. But we preach the gospel, Todd. The victory is not in how many people hit their knees and repented. We pray that God allows the harvest to take place.
Okay, but aren't there other ways less geeky than that?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, sure there
not
are.
Not for me. Well, but if you're called to stand on the crate, go and do it with knees shaking, tongue tied, and proclaim the gospel. But that's almost like a special event. As you go throughout the day, the guy that, you know, if you go through a car wash, or you go to McDonald's, or you go to the pharmacy, or the pharmaceutical place, whatever you're doing, as you go, don't make handing out that tract this huge deal. Just do it. Hey, you get one of these. One of the great cures, I think, partial cures for the blues or the blahs for a Christian is go witness to somebody. I don't feel like it. Where in the Bible does it say when you feel like it? You think Paul felt like it after he had 39 lashes? How many times?
Well, he had to ask for prayer.
Go and do, man.
Then he would open up his mouth and speak boldly as he ought. So even he needed a little zzz to get himself going.
Yeah.
But to go out onto a milk crate and do open air, I would say, is entirely valid, and we evangelicals should not look askance at it.
No.
Because there are a lot of kids who are not going to go to a Christian site and engage with the gospel. We go find them, and I'm telling you.
You go fishing.
You go fishing, and the fish that will never be caught by anybody online or through a mailer, all very valid things. We're not downplying those. But these kids are going to be reached
Todd,
because you go and open
you think
up
about
your
it. How many times have we heard in Christian circles, oh, Lord, just give me one person to witness to. Where are we going to find, go out and,
right there.
And knock on doors. Go bring people into the church, which is a whole other conversation. But I was speaking at a men's group recently from a fairly large church, very sound, wonderful young pastor. And I said, do you want to build your youth group? Yes, we do. I said, listen, 7 miles from your church, I can get you 500 people every week that you can hand out a card to. Every week, we'll go to the campus. You can come and join us there. You can hand out your church business cards. You can bring your youth group. You can bring your youth leader. Bring them with you. I'll give you hundreds of people, or the Lord will provide you hundreds of people, that age group, that demographic, that are 5 minutes from your church. Come on, let's go, man.
This is making the most of every opportunity. And sometimes those opportunities just walk right in front of you, but sometimes we have to create those opportunities. And they are on the university campus. I think it's the last bastion of safety. I'm glad that in Louisiana, they don't have a free speech zone for you, but it's getting shut. It's getting tighter and tighter. So doing open-air preaching on a university campus, it reaches many, and as aforementioned, it encourages Christians.
It does.
It can convict Christians. What am I doing for the Lord?
It does.
Pagans hear the gospel, and sometimes they even get saved.
We do. We have one young lady, I'll never forget, Alicia, who we saw in her testimony on YouTube, and she just mentioned in passing there, I heard a guy preaching at college, my college, and he was telling me that I could repent. And I didn't know that I could repent considering what I'd done in my life. And she got saved there shortly thereafter. And we don't know. We often think, well, I didn't draw a big crowd. Some days we have a huge crowd. Some days you literally can't buy a crowd. You know what I mean? Literally. And and you don't know who the Lord is dealing with. Don't place your quote-unquote success or victory in, wow, I didn't have a dozen people hit their knees. Go proclaim the gospel. Half the victory or the major victory is that God was honored. Think about that. As you just said, we lift up our voice and you go, okay, I'm not an open air preacher. Not all of us are called to be that, but you can go and pray for that open air preacher.
Besides, we need Christian. Look, open air preaching for a church, it brings unity because it requires different people using different gifts. Somebody's got to make the arrangements with the campus. The sound system has to get set up. Transportation. I encourage you. I just saw you. How many? What time is Purple? Have you handed out?
Oh, thousands and thousands. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
you can do thousands. That at wretched.org/purple. But I just saw a church. They taped candy canes to What Time Is Purple?
Man, how creative!
And then
how creative.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And they give them a little treat
right.
with the gospel.
It and
is
people
a
say
piece
thank
of
you.
Cake, and they say thank you.
Thank you.
And if a local church happens to be near a campus, to return week after week after week, the body will be unified because they're all using their gifts. Just Christians standing around praying, mm-hmm. it helps to gather a crowd, mm-hmm. which you're right, you can't buy. God has to provide it.
Amen.
So the body comes together to work in the propagation of the gospel. It turns the church outward instead of inward. It clarifies the gospel. It forces us to pray more, and it helps us to remember what God is all about, seeking and saving that which is lost. So the upside, monster, despite the heckling, sometimes the hassles.
Well, once you know as well as I do, we've been doing this for a long time, and one of the things Ray taught us is we pray for hecklers, and the first time you see that, it takes you aback. But boy, I tell you what, we want those hecklers. We want that person there. You know, that I don't know where I heard this from, but it's so true that you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps the loudest. Wow, that's
ancient
the one you hit.
Proverb. I don't know where I heard it. Yeah,
okay.
I use it all the time because it's true. But it does. But they're also speaking on behalf, even if they're antagonistic. They're simply uttering what some of the kids are actually.
Well,
thinking.
A politician says if they get a letter or an email from one constituent, they say that's the functional equivalent of 10,000 people's opinion. So yeah, you have one person that fortunately has enough courage, if you will, and I give kudos to him, to ask that question. You're telling me that my grandmother, who never went to church but was the sweetest person in the
right.
world, God would send to hell. There's been more people killed in the name of religion than in wars than
so
anything
bring,
else.
So they bring it up, you get to engage. And
you
going
do,
back,
respectfully
David,
and courteously.
Quickly, week after week, going back, the fruit of that is what?
The consistency of it is you'll have Christians come up, they'll be encouraged, and they'll bring their friends because they know we're going to
be
there.
You're going to be there. And you even the kids that maybe stood around once, when they walk by, they're reminded of the gospel again.
Sure.
The benefits of open air, if your church is near a university,
go.
Think about it because the fruits are many. David Grantham, thank you for coming in here with your fancy haircut.
I appreciate you noticing.
you must have spent dollars and dollars mm-hmm. for that. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.